Man, I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away, aren't you? I'm glad that he's still working on me and working on me a lot. Turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. And I think Brother Hicks did a good job tonight. And that was fantastic. And good to see Brody there on the video speaking. By the way, we're all preachers. We're all to be preachers. We're all to tell others of Jesus. And so it's good to encourage these young people when they're young to speak up. To speak up and be bold. That's what I'm going to speak about a little bit tonight, preach on for about the next 7-8 minutes. Being bold. We ought to be bold. Acts chapter 4, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but let's look through here a little bit. In verse 1 it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed." Look how many believed. "And the number of the men was about 5,000. So it only mentions the men. So there's no telling how many believed. Now what has happened the previous chapter is that, of course, the lame man who had been at the gate there, Peter asked the question, or the lame man asked for alms. He asked for them to give him something. And Peter and John said what? Verse 6 says of chapter 3, "And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bbones received strength." I love this. Verse 8 of chapter 3 says, And he leaping up stood. In other words, he didn't kind of just creak up or just kind of wobble up. No, he leapt up. He walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it had been this man who had been lame. I want to just skip down through there in chapter 3. Peter says, and they asked the question, what's going on here? And Peter answered unto the people in verse 12, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." Listen now, verse 13. "Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed," this is verse 15 now, "and killed the Prince of Life." I just want you to see how bold Peter is. He heals this lame man, and then the question's asked of that crowd. The crowd asks the question, what's going on here? And Peter said, why are you astonished? Why are you marvel at what's being done here? Jesus Christ of Nazareth had caused this to happen. The one that you killed. Notice how bold. That's pretty bold to stand up in front of the crowd that had murdered Jesus and call them murderers. You killed him. You murdered him. "And the name through faith," verse 16, "in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see now. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And then in chapter 4, we have the Sadducees, and these religious leaders are jealous, of course, of the crowd and what's going on. And so they take occasion and they put hands on Peter and John and put them in prison. And verse 5 says in chapter 4, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name ye have you done this?" Verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." By the way, just want to side note. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit that empowers us. If you want to be empowered, if you want the strength of God, then ask and seek for the filling of the Spirit. It is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us power. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I know we're not, I don't believe we're partial words there. I desire, Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians, "Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." We ought not to be content in our Christian life to live just that mediocre Christian life. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Peter stands up. He's filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 8 and says unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all," verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," that's bold, isn't it? "Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And he goes on and talks about an Old Testament passage, but Peter stands up as boldness, filled with the Spirit with boldness, and tells the religious leaders, "Hey, by the way, he didn't say God did this. It's not what he said. Jesus of Nazareth did this." We live in a day and age which it's okay to say God, God this and God that. But you start bringing up Jesus' name, a whole different level happens. A whole different persecution happens. And we need to be bold followers of Jesus. We need to stand up. I believe Tuesday is a time we stand up. Vote. Be a part. Be a part of the process. Vote. Be bold about what you believe. We live in a day and age which teenagers are going to need to be bold about what they believe. And when we are set aside and when we are set down and people ask us why we believe this, we need to talk about Jesus. Not in vague terms. Not an umbrella term of God. But I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't pray in God's name. We pray in Jesus' name. I'm not taking down God at all. I'm just saying Jesus Christ is the one who was crucified for me. When I ask a kid, when a child goes through the process of the Romans Road and they make a profession of faith, generally, if y'all bring them to me, I ask two or three questions. One of them I ask is, why do you need to be saved? And I want them to say because they're a sinner. If they say simply because I want to go to heaven, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, the second one is, who saves you? And I would say about half the time they'll say God. And so I back up and I say, listen, yes. But more than that, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who lived, who died and was buried and rose again. It's in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus Christ who gave his life for us. It's Jesus Christ who gave his life that in order that we might be saved. And as adults, we understand that, and I said it last week, the devils believe in God. And the Bible says they believe in God and tremble. But it's more than just believing in God that saves you. There's many people who believe in God, right? The Muslims believe in a God. It's more believing in a God. And by the way, it's not the same God as we serve. Don't get me wrong. Let me be very careful here. But understand that believing in God will not save you. It's believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection that saves us from our sins and gives us a home in heaven. He is the only way, right? In fact, it says that there, very familiar verse to most of us, verse 12 in chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My dad quoted that this morning. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's what Peter's saying here. One way. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way. So, we again see Peter and John who were placed into prison, called out and put on trial. There in the trial, we know there in verse 12, he stood up and with boldness and preached the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is this lame man, this man who was lame, laying at the gate beautiful, was lame. This man, who was above 40 years old, who'd been lame, is walking because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is no other name. Jesus Christ. Let us be bold when it comes to the name of Jesus. Verse 13 through 22, we see the council's decision. And they do let them loose. Number one, they recognize their boldness. They recognize their forceful message. And there was no way to discount the lame man who's standing with them. He's standing with them, who is above 40 years of age. This is a man. There's no way to discount that, and so they let him loose. Can I tell you the best argument for Christianity is a changed life?
Amen.
The lame man stood by them. Here's a man who's changed. I think about Brother Juan and others in our church. Man, God changed him. I think about my dad's testimony. Change. God changes a man. And God changes a person. And that is the best argument for Christianity. By the way, that ought to humble us a little bit and make us accountable. When you go to the workplace tomorrow, a changed life is the best argument for Christianity. Are you living that life? Are you being bold for Jesus? Are you being bold in your Christian walk? Do people around you know that you're saved? Do they hear your witness? Do they see it in your life? Certainly they saw it here in Peter and John. And they were threatened there in verses 18 through 22. They were threatened not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or to teach. Look at verse 18. Not to speak or teach nor in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And they threatened them some more. But understand, Peter says, listen, we can't help but speak what we know. We can't help but speak in Jesus' name. We can't help but do what we are doing. And let me tell you, when we got saved, we need to recognize and understand Jesus Christ saved us from hell, gave us a home in heaven. Jesus Christ took our life and gave us abundant life. And we can't help but say and to speak of His name. Let's be bold. Let's be bold for Jesus Christ. Verses 23 there, we see Peter and John go back to the Christians, among their Christian friends. It says, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then they quote David out of Psalm chapter 2. And then for the truth against the Holy Child of Jesus, verse 27, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. Look at verse 29. I'm almost done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings. Don't we see that today? Right? We see that in our society today. You know, back in the 80s, it was popular to be a Christian. What would Jesus do became a very popular statement. People wearing on their armbands, but that's not so today. Fast forward 30 years later, it's not so today. Jerry Falwell standing up, you know, and having the great comeback of conservatism, not so today. There has been a huge shift in the last 10, 15 years. And if you've got blinders on, you need to get your head out of the sand because it's not like it used to be. Amen. And there is persecution, and there's going to be persecution. And if you stand up boldly for Jesus, there's going to be persecution. Notice what it says. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, their persecution, their and so forth. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Isn't that what we want? Lord, we pray that you give us boldness. Lord, grant to Peter and John boldness. And then verse 30 says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by thy name of the Holy Child. Notice the answer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God, what? With boldness. We want to speak boldly for the kingdom. We want to speak boldly the name of Jesus Christ. We need to pray that the Lord would enable us, by way of His Holy Spirit, to be bold for Jesus Christ. I enjoyed seeing the kids tonight, didn't you? And we need to teach them to be bold for Jesus Christ. We need to be bold ourselves as we go out into the workplace tomorrow, as we go out and face this world, that we might be bold for the cause of Jesus Christ. May we be bold witnesses for Jesus this week. Amen. Let's name the name. Let's don't be ashamed. And I know this crowd isn't, but I tell you, there's still... You know, somebody approaches you about something or says something, there's always that hesitation many times, isn't there? Man, let's pray that God would give us boldness. If God touches your heart about witnesses to somebody, Lord, give me the boldness to tell them about Jesus. Lord, help me to be bold. Help me to be bold for you. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. If you haven't made it around the bases, if you're not saved tonight, won't you come forward? Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you just haven't got it settled. Won't you come forward and let us show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life? It's the greatest decision you will ever make. And Christian, I want to challenge you to be bold. Not just this week, but all the time. Be bold for Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son whom you sent to live that perfect life and to die on the cross for me, who was buried and rose again, that I might have everlasting life. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us to be bold for your Son. Help us to be bold in Jesus' name. Fill us with your Spirit this week. Enable us. God, send somebody our way who we could tell about Jesus, that we might give them the gospel and see souls saved. Lord, bless again this invitation. We ask in your name. Amen. In 153,